Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? Be sure to check out the blog at wecanprepare.org and check out this website to find out more about some of the other resources we have available. We've been talking about relinquishing our rights in connection with brokenness and dependence on God. Our goal is to allow God to flow freely through us, spirit, soul, and body. And because we are now one in Him and with Him, this is what we were created for. This oneness within us, joined in oneness to Him, this is what is our original state of being. So this is where our freedom and rest will come. We're not being swallowed up into nothingness. We're not being swallowed up to a condition of no longer being a unique being. In fact, just the opposite. We, within Him, become unique, become basically what God created us to be as we become free from our flesh, the world, and the devil, overcoming our enemies. We've been talking about that in other series, so I encourage you to become familiar with these other concepts as well. They all tie in together. You can't do one without the other. You can't know God without getting healed. If you want to get healed, you're going to have to overcome your flesh and your enemies. And if you want to get over your flesh and overcome your enemies, you're going to have to know God. So they're all tied in together, which is why we really focus on the basics. Now, our approach is different, and again, we're not saying that what anyone else is doing is wrong. What we look at, though, is the results. Is what you're learning bringing you into rest? Is what you're doing bringing you freedom? Not freedom from circumstances. Not freedom from bad things happening to you. But freedom to depend on God. Freedom to overcome both positive and negative circumstances. Because we don't live according to our circumstances. Our life comes from God. You have all the eternal life you're ever going to get right now. So when we talk about relinquishing our rights, independence, this is another one of those areas where language has played such a crucial part in distinguishing incorrectly between God's truth and what we want to believe. We think that our goal is to become stronger in our will. And that's just a total distortion of reality. Your will is no more valuable to God than your mind or your emotions. Your will is part of your soul. And God gave you the soul, the temperament, the mind, the will, and the emotions that He wanted you to have. They came from Him. They still belong to Him, just as we all do. But to think that they are more valuable to Him than any other aspect of our soul is clearly just a distortion of who He says we are. Paul calls it the idolatry of the will. When we talk about bringing into effect God's will for our life, we think of it in terms of God having a perfect plan, and we have to figure out what it is and then do it. Again, what we're doing is trying to control God's activity in our lives. He will not allow us to interfere with what He's doing in our lives, though. Because, again, His purpose is not to get us to a certain place. It's not to produce something in us that He can show off or that can glorify Him or that can in any way be other than the reflection of who He created us to be. You are not important to God because of what we can do for Him. He's much more interested in communion with you as an entire being. Remember, as a spirit, you're already in perfect communion with Him. We get this idea that we've disappointed Him, that we've failed, that we're behind. And how easily we go there. Because we've learned to be negative. We've learned to expect the worst. And we've been taught that even though the law has been fulfilled, we created our own. That now, in some ways, before Christ came, before God made Himself able to make the way, under the law, we were not able to fulfill God's requirements. And now the only difference, now that the Messiah has come and fulfilled the law on the cross and sent the Holy Spirit, the only difference is that before we couldn't fulfill the law, but now because of the Holy Spirit, we can. And that's a total distortion of reality. The truth is, the law was fulfilled. So for us to try to fulfill it is to go back over a work that's already been done. And it's a distraction. It's a total fabrication, and it's misleading. Now, you'd think that it would be great for all of us to want to move forward to the next thing, to discover more and more who we are in Him, how to rule and reign, how our supernatural skills can be developed. how to know God, how to overcome our enemies, how to get healed. But each of those brings us into a greater and greater dependence on God rather than ourselves. And because of that, we lose a measure of control. And that's what our flesh is all about, its control. Which brings us back to our rights. Any area where you feel you have a right to something is an area you are trying to exert control. Any area where you believe you have a right to something that God says he's already given to you as a gift, it's an area where you are trying to maintain control or achieve control. Now, this is not about your civil rights or your human rights. Unfortunately, so many people see this whole concept in terms of allowing other Christians to treat them like dirt, to abuse them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your perceived rights in relationship to God. That if you pray the right prayer, God is obligated to heal you, or even obligated to hear you. That you can control God by your actions, by your emotions, by your understanding. That somehow if he shows you something special, you are specialer than anyone else. Or that, for instance, because everybody knows you're a Christian, if God allows something bad to happen to you, it will tarnish his reputation, and so he can't let it happen. These things, to think that God is at all concerned about his reputation, if he can't keep it, his reputation the way he wants it, what makes you think we're important enough, we're powerful enough to control other people's perception of reputation? He didn't care. And if you're fighting to maintain his reputation, it's really yours. It's really your reputation that you're fighting to maintain or present or hide behind. So, it comes down to, as we relinquish our rights, what are we really doing? The two main reasons we talked about last week, the first being that to continue to claim our rights keeps us in bondage, prevents our healing, and empowers our flesh. When we give God permission, and we did, to show us any area where we are attempting to maintain control. When we say, Lord, okay, I get this now. Sometimes he moves right in and starts rearranging the furniture and opening the closets and making himself at home. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes it's over time, and sometimes we don't even know about it. In other words, just as in any other area, just because you've given God your rights doesn't mean he's taken them. So we may get it, we may understand, but he's not obligated to respond in the way we expect. But second, from God's perspective, God will not allow your rights to infringe on his rights. When you think you have the right to tell him what he can or can't do. Who's on that throne? There are so many right now that are thinking that because America has allowed abortion and all the corruption in Hollywood and in Washington and you name it, that we deserve to be punished by God. And God is going to allow judgment to bring us into the greatest depression ever seen, and there's going to be a nuclear bomb. You go off and terrorist attack are going to sweep through across, and we deserve it. To even think that is kicking God off his throne. Because we are using our understanding to conclude what God's going to do. And how we love it. How this is the tie, the absolute absorption and reliance we have on doctrine. Believing the right thing. When you believe doctrine, what you've been taught or what you've ferreted out for yourself, either through history, through teachers, through teachings, through your own reading of books and scriptures and stuff, when you come to conclusions and you come to your own understanding, what are you using? You're using your mind. You're using your own strength, your own flesh. I found that the more God frees me from flesh in a particular area, the less information I have. But the more I know. He just gives you the information. He just gives you what you need to know, without telling you how you get there. I love that, I think it's in Zechariah, where the prophet sees a burning tree or bush with two candlesticks on either side. And the angel says, "What does this mean?" And he's like, "I don't know. I haven't the foggiest idea what it means." And the angel looks at him sort of, you know, like, "Well, how can you not know what it means?" And he says, and he interprets it and says, "Not by might, not by spirit, but by not by might, not by power, but by my spirit," says the Lord. I'm going, how in the world can you get that from those symbols? Now, probably you can. If you sat there and you went, okay, now this, the light mean, the lampstands means the spirit, and this means that, and this means that. But if the prophet that was standing right there couldn't figure it out, but the angel just told him. Why are we settling for trying to figure things out ourselves? That's why we want to be clear about what we're doing here. We are not preparing for the end times. We are not preparing for the next crisis or even the next opportunity. We are preparing for the next age. We are always in an end time. We are always in a beginning time. It's your end and your beginning. It's your opportunity. We are preparing for the next hour, for the next day, for the next week. Because every day is a training opportunity. That's what's important. It's not about his kingdom. You already own his kingdom. You are a joint heir with Christ. How much more of ownership do you need? How much more throne rights do you need? You are one in the King. It's not about expanding his purpose. Do you really think that he's relying on you to accomplish anything? To try to think that he's waiting on the church to achieve or do anything, or that he's disappointed in Christians because they haven't prayed enough, or that they've joined in with the world and now such bad things are in the world, he's going to have to start over again. Or whatever. Okay, what that tells me is that Christians don't believe that God is sovereign. You can't have it both ways. Because people say, well, if he's sovereign, but we have free will. I'm sorry, you just can't have it both ways. You are not sovereign. You are not all-powerful, all-knowing, all-involved. You are one with him in his spirit, in your spirit. That's it. To think that we are powerful enough to mess up what he wants to do. We are where you are right now is exactly where God wants you to be. You've not missed him. You're not behind. You're not in front. You're not off to the side. He's not neglecting you. He's speaking to you right now. And he's going to speak to you the next hour. You can prepare for it this hour. That's what we're emphasizing. Whatever, right now, you can prepare for whatever comes next. Because he's personally training you. He is personally providing everything you need for your training. What opportunity we miss. Because we are looking for him to do things the way we expect him to. He is so generous in giving of himself. We don't want to miss out. We want to receive everything he's giving and just say thanks. So again, why do we have to give up our throne rights? From God's perspective, God will not allow your rights, our rights, to infringe on his sovereignty. Now, when we try to exert our rights, what we're really trying to do is maintain control. Pure flesh. If you have an area where you're trying to maintain your rights, you're functioning in the flesh. You're increasing your flesh. There can only be one Lord in our lives. God does not share those rights, that sovereignty, those throne rights with your self rights. Either he's on the throne or you are. Now, he's not getting off. He's not leaving. He owns the throne. But his goal is to show us the absolute failure of our flesh, of our own strength. So there are times when he says, okay, you do it your way. But it's not so we can try harder. It's so we can fail. Let's embrace that we, our strength, our will has no value in and of itself to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. He works in our lives despite our flesh, not because of our will. God does not even recognize our attempts to give up our rights to another. when you try to give the authority that belongs to God to another, you're operating in the flesh, and God does not recognize that. So, for instance, when you try to renege on your responsibility as a spouse and in the decision making. Well, honey, you make all the decisions in this area. Did you ask God about that instead? That's the real question. When you allow someone who's proclaimed themselves your spiritual head, your pastor, for instance, how silly is that? There's only one mediator, and he's done the mediation. He's a mediator brings two parties together. You've already been brought into him. You don't need a mediator. You're one in him. How can you need a mediator? But that was God's way of bringing us together through his son. And it was done 2,000 years ago. Or even your boss. When you give them spiritual, perceived spiritual authority in your lives, in your life, you are saying God's not good enough. Fortunately, God doesn't acknowledge that. And he's going to continue to be Lord in your life. So often why we run into problems is we want to leave it, we want to pick who's the boss. And we're going to make them the boss. This is in marriages so often what happens is there's this whole idea of headship and submission in one way, shape, or form. And the idea that this person, this is their role, and the other person, this is their role. But let me ask you, in what profession are there roles? Acting. God does not want us acting. He's looking for us to be real and not pretending to be something we're not. Acknowledging Christ's lordship is not only an affirmation of what Jesus did at the cross, but agreement with him that at his resurrection and our acceptance of him as our Savior, we have now given up the right to dictate, to control, to contribute to influence our own destinies. We've given up our right to act according to our past or control our present. When we relinquish our right, our rights to even our own time and attention, we acknowledge God's sovereignty. And we do this by accepting unconditionally who he says he is and who he says we are. So let's do that now. Lord, we give up our rights to have any kind of influence because of our past, our present, or our future. We give you our past, our present, and future, and accept that whatever has happened, will happen, or is happening, is directly from your hand. Thanks for tuning in. We'll pick it up there next Monday. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow, 7:30. Until then, Have a great day, and thanks for tuning in.